Our gospel reading today comes from the 25th chapter, once again, the Gospel of Matthew. Last week we talked about the oils and keeping our oil flasks filled so that we'll be ready with the bright light when Jesus comes. And today we hear about the parable of the talents. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant.
You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who received 1 talent came and said, Master, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money in on a deposit with the bankers so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. Take the last talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he who will be given abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of the Lord God.
Thanks be to God.
I just closed that scripture, but that's okay. I have read it enough this week that I probably could. And I've heard this many, many times as a good.
Yeah.
I turn this off when I sing. Unless you can hear me low, you don't want to hear me. So, but I realized when I was reading it that I was no longer loud for everyone to hear. So this is a tough parable for some, but for others it's accepted as a parable where it can help us to grow. But this is a parable where Jesus was talking directly to his disciples. Remember last week we talked about the wedding and how he'd been talking to a large group of people and gotten them excited with the idea that there was going to be a wedding. Now, in this parable, we believe, when Matthew tells us, that Jesus is talking directly to his disciples. He knew what was ahead for his disciples. You have to remember, it was first century, and Jesus is ready to leave the disciples. And he knows what's ahead for these disciples. There will be much persecution, much heartache. They would be responsible to be the image of Christ in the world. He was telling them, everything that I give to you is what I need you to do when I'm not here. And I need you to keep this going because you see me personally, but when I'm not here, I need you to be a witness that you have seen me and all these things that I've done and all these things that I have taught you. So they were taking on a big responsibility, and they needed to get up and be ready to do what God was asking them to do and tell others about Jesus. They were the beginning of taking Jesus Christ into the world. Now, could you imagine that responsibility? I mean, for years and years, we've passed it down with traditions, with doctrines, with everything else. We've passed it down from generation to generation, and we seem to have skipped a little generation in there, but we're going to still work on getting that generation back. But could you imagine being the responsibility of the first disciples that first of all, they had to believe what this Jesus was all about, and then they were being asked to take what Jesus was doing and to emulate that in the world. And they were just fishermen and tax collectors and people like you and me. It must have been, seemed like a large chore to do something like this. So Jesus talks to them about this parable, and I want to tell you this is not a parable about money, even though it is a parable about money. The word talent is used, but talent back then was money. And we'll say the person that got the five talents probably, one commentary say, got 100 years worth of salary of what they would have gotten back then. And then the second got two, and the second got one. But we don't have to think about the money part of this. We need to think about it more like the King James Version. Because of this written in the King James Version, we got the word talents for what we know are gifts from God. You know, when people say you have talents, I'm looking like straight at this camera. they've got talents, but like a gift from God. What I'd like you to look at in this scripture is when the talents were given to the people, one was given 5 talents, or like we said, about 100 years worth of salary. The next was given 2, and the next was given 1. And it says that the person that gave him the talents, and we assume as we read the parable that it was probably thinking about Jesus leaving and going away, and they were going to have to take over the land, and we took over the kingdom and building the kingdom. But the Bible tells us they were that the owner of the property gave them according to their abilities, according to what he knew they would be able to handle. That's how he gave out the talents, according to what he knew they could handle. That's not putting more on the first person or less than the second person. It's this is what the person can do, and the owner knew what that person was capable of. They had worked in his home, and he saw what they were capable. I immediately thought when Jesus made Peter the rock to start the church. I mean, he had 12 disciples there. He chose Peter to be the rock. He knew what Peter was capable of. He knew Peter still had to grow, and he knows we always still have to grow, but he knew what Peter was capable of. He didn't say to the 12, I'll make you each little stones and you'll become one big church. He made Peter the rock. So, in our lives, we have to look and see what God has given us. Now, it's very easy to know that God gave you the talent to play the organ. And we thank you that you use that talent in this church every Sunday. And what he did not give me, I would walk over there and I see black and white, a bunch of little ivory keys. I mean, I love the music that comes out of that organ, but and I can tell you God did not give me the talent for music because everybody in my family took violin and they played the violin beautifully. And I took violin, and after a year and a half of lessons, the violin teacher said to me, perhaps you want to try something else. After a year and a half, I could not play Mary Had a Little Lamb. And that's a truthful story. But I did not have the talent the other people in my family had. I can't play the violin. I wish I could. But there are diversity in talents. And we all have these talents that God has given us to use as a special gift in this world. And that's what was going on in this scripture. Like, and I will get to the last one that only got one talent because I think he gets a bad rap. But we need to use our talent. What God says in the end is we can't take these talents and dig a hole and put them in the ground, worried about whether or not we're going to make anything out of it. So I would like to share a story about my ministry down in North Wildwood because it's a beautiful story of talents. In that 5 miles in Wildwood, there are 16 churches. So when you say, how do you pull people and get people in, we decided as a group of churches, the only way to get God's word out there is to do it together. So we had 2 huge Catholic churches And then the rest, we had two Methodist churches, we had a couple Baptist churches, we had a couple community churches, we had a Greek Orthodox church. But within 5 miles, we had 16 churches. So we had a group of pastors, and only about 8 or 9 of the churches were represented. And we came together once a month to figure out how we could do ministry together on the island. Because when it was winter, the island was half empty. I won't say it was all empty, because now people live there year round. But when summer came, there were droves of people on the island and people that we could try to reach out to. So we were talking about what kind of things can we do to get Christ out into the neighborhoods. And one of the things we found is there were a lot of homeless people and a lot of people that were hungry. Now, if you ask the politicians on the island, nobody was hungry and nobody was homeless, because they did not want us to open a food bank on the island, because they didn't want people that were coming here on vacation seeing people standing in line poor looking for food. So they fought us tooth and nail, but I was there 10 and a half years. I would say the second year I was there, we started praying. We just started praying about a food bank and how we could open a food bank on the island. And I would get in my car every once in a while and drive around and pray and say, God, if you want us to have a food bank, you got to show us where you want to have a food bank. And you also have to help us know how to get over these politicians so that we could open this food bank. So one thing we figured out is if we had it in the church, they couldn't stop us. But none of our churches were big enough to have a food bank, or we weren't close to where the people were that needed the food. Then one day, the priest came to our meeting and said they're not going to do preschool in the trailer on the Catholic Church property anymore, and we would like to use that for the food bank. So we started in a little trailer on the food bank. For the food bank, and people would come in one room. The ladies would put bags of food, the ladies and men, I should say, would put bags of food together. They'd walk in one door and out the other door. Meanwhile, we were looking to expand it because the line was down the road for the food bank. So when, about 2 years later, the priest comes and says, we have to knock the trailer down. We're not going to use that property anymore for the trailer. No more food bank. So at that point, we were well established, so we thought we could maybe get a food bank, get one of those storefront places. So we went to get one of those, and we had a deposit on it, and somehow, I think the mayor found out. And the people called us and said, no, never mind, we're not doing, we changed our mind about renting that building now, so we couldn't get it. Move forward. A little while longer, the Presbyterian church was ready to close down. They were left with 5 members in their church, and they finally decided they would merge with the Cape May church, and they were ready to close. But they said, but before we close, we're going to be here for a while. Why don't you open the food bank in the fellowship hall? So we opened the food bank in the fellowship hall. We started getting more and more people. It was right in the center of town, right where the hungry people were. We started getting more and more people. So they found that they needed more and more volunteers, and they needed to change things. So this is what I'm going to tell you quickly. This is what God did with talents. God sent us Frank, who worked for Rory's Pier. If anybody knows, that's the biggest amusement pier. He sent us Frank to lead our food bank. Frank got us so many gifts from people to help with this food bank. Then God sent us John. John knew how to write grants. So John started writing grants. Then he gave us Ed, who knew how to run a computer and put all the information so all these people didn't have to stand there and sign these papers every week when they got there. They could come right up, tell their name, and move on and get their food. John sent the manager of the Acme, who started giving us a lot of food at the end of every week to go into the food bank. Then God sent the people from North Wildwood United Methodist Church, and this is after I left, who started a garden, because I didn't know how to start a garden, but we always talked about it, but then somebody came to the church and knew how to start a garden. They started growing so much food in their garden that the food bank said, hold some of the food and give it to your people at church, because there's too much fresh produce to give out. God kept sending people with all these talents to this food bank. I can't give you the end of the story because it's still going. But the food bank now owns the Presbyterian Church.
Amen.
And not only does it own the Presbyterian Church, there was a lady that always worshiped with the veterans. So I said, well, we have a sanctuary. Why don't we get Pastor Deb to worship in the sanctuary? So it's now a veterans chapel. And all the veterans can come to this chapel and bring their families for any kind of religious events they want to have. And Pastor Deb is there every Sunday morning for any veterans that want to come out. So now they own the church. We have a chapel for the veterans. They redid the steeple, and they now play chimes at 12 o'clock for everybody to know the church is there and still open. Not open necessarily all the time as a church, but it's open for the people of Christ to come in and be fed in more than one way. But without all those talents coming together, and without all those people saying, yes, God is calling me to this, it would still be an empty Presbyterian church on that corner.
Knock down, maybe. God is good.
All the time. But to watch that, I get chills when I talk about it, because I'm still in the trustees down there, which I'm ready to give up now because they have plenty of people in Wildwood that can do that. But not only do they do that, they now have a van where they can take food out to people that can't make it. They can call and say what they can or can't eat, and they can make it. Another thing they can do is the people can walk through the aisles and pick what they can eat. You know, we all say, well, we can fix them about it. I'm sure you ask, what can you eat, right? Like we give people what they can eat. Some people can't digest certain kinds of food. So now the people can walk along and say, you know, I can eat that cereal, I can't eat sugar, so I can't eat that cereal. And they can actually get groceries as if they had gone to the grocery store. And the last beautiful story I want to tell you about that, because it just happened about 6 months ago, I got a call from Frank that's running it. He said, Jenny, I've got to tell you what happened today. And because I don't live down here, they don't announce all this to the public, but they know they get gifts. He said two young people came into the bank today, to the food bank today. They delivered a gift from their parents. And they didn't want us to open it while they were there, and they don't want to announce who it is, and I don't know who it is. But when the kids left to go home, Frank sat there with his wife, and they opened the gift. It was $10,000 worth of gift cards to Shopper.
Wow.
$10,000. Now, this started as a dream with a bunch of pastors in a fellowship hall, just wondering how it was going to happen. But as we go down the talents, I told you all the people that was able to get it all together, and you know, we had a lawyer in there that was able to write all the paperwork to buy the thing, so that didn't cost us anything because the lawyer was willing to do it for us. The van is being taken care of by one of the auto places down there. It changes the oil for us and does things like that for us. But you know what's wonderful? Some of the people that used to come to the food bank now come and sort the food and stack the shelves and make sure from the back of the shelves that there's always food for the people to see as they're walking through. Nobody has to feel like they took the last can because the people in the back might not be seen, might be the people with one talent, but they're the people that are putting the food on the shelves so the people can get them. So see, there might not be a lot of things that you feel like you can do because you feel like, well, I don't have knowledge of. We could always learn when we take time, and I will get Zoom back up here. But the thing is, we have to use our talents, what we have right now, in a time when there is need. So we have to ask, if people stop using their talents, the mercy of mission in this world will be gone. If we in the church don't come together with our talents and figure out ways to show mercy to God's people through our mission and talents, are we really the church? That's what we have to ask ourselves. Are we really what Christ called his disciples to be? We must extend God's mercy through our missions from our church. We must.
That is what we're called to do. We are not called to take those talents that God gave us and bury them in the ground, hoping that we can say when Jesus returns, I have what I gave, what you gave me, God. And he's like, I wanted you to make it bigger and give it away. I wanted you to take that which I gave you and work with it. And I know how the story goes where the person said, well, God, I know you were this, and God, I know you were that, and you were a mean man, and I was afraid. And does anybody here know somebody that never talks about God until they can blame God for something? Really? I know a few people that I talk to all the time. They know I'm a pastor, so they know what they're getting when I walk in their house. But they're still my friends. But, you know, it's the truth. I hear from people, oh, now look what God did. I said, oh, so you do believe in God. Well, at least I got you to say God. Now we have a starting point. But if you believe God did that to you, then you can believe God can get you through it. So then we have a starting point. But this is what our parable is about. We are that generation of disciples in Jesus Christ that need to be the image of Christ in this world. So whatever talent it is that you have, that you need to share, that you need to share together with someone else. Like, no one person could have put that food bank together. No one person could have made it what it is today. To God be the glory that it became what it is today, because all the people there know that God gave them the talents that they're using, and they said yes to God that they would use those talents. Even the high school kids are coming a couple days a week to start serving at the food bank. So the next generation is getting an idea of what mission in Christ means. So you just have to ask yourself. I know there's people that have been given their talents for years, and some people need rest. I just got 4 years rest. I thought I was retired. I really, truly thought. It took me 3 years to really retire. And this last year, it was like, hey, I don't even know what day of the week it is. I'm really retired. I must really be retired.
Surprise.
Our God is full of surprises. But that's okay. That's the kind of God I want to serve. So when you're thinking this week, last week I asked you, you know, to try to get back into your devotions. And I will tell you, I got emails that people got back into their devotions. To keep that oil in your lamp, to keep that burning, because if we let that start to twinkle just a little bit, we can't be as bright as God wants us to be. We can't be that ready as God wants us to be when that person comes forward and wants us to help them know Christ better. We want people to want to be us. Could you imagine everybody being like us? Don't try. But really, seriously, we want them to be like us, that we have Christ in our life, and that we are able to help others with what God has given us in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So Thanksgiving week, the family's going to be around the table.
Yeah.
You know when it's time to talk to them. As soon as they start eating, because they're not going to get up from their food. So bless you all, and I hope you all have a great Thanksgiving, but make it even greater by using those talents and giving God glory for all those that we use.